Hey everyone, welcome to Chris. My name is Chris, and on this episode, we're going to be talking about The Weeknd's newest album, After Hours. And I gotta say, it's probably my favorite project by The Weeknd, and I haven't been that big of a fan overall up till this point. I first heard him back in 2011, which is kind of a miracle to me, because I've never been somebody that's been big on music discovery. Like, oh yeah, I find all these independent artists and I've been jamming to them since before they blew up. No, never. I've always been behind the curve when it comes to everybody. I think the most ahead of the curve I ever felt was getting into Kid Cudi when Day and Night was a single, or getting into Drake when Forever was a single, and being like, oh yeah, I'm onto these new artists who people have been onto for like a couple years at that point. So yeah, always behind the curve. But I feel like with Weeknd, House of Balloons came out, and I don't know if it was just because I was into Spotify early and it was on a playlist, or I saw somebody else listening to it, or if it was because of Reddit and I just kind of got on Reddit and started seeing like, oh, all these people have better taste than me, so I'll listen to what they're listening to. But I remember really loving High for this, and just thinking it was such a different sound. His voice was great. The beat was great. I never listened to dubstep, but I thought like, oh, this is dubstep, like, but done well, done cool. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that was my impression, that he was this R&B singer that was mixing dubstep with R&B. And I remember there was a girl I was trying to hit on at one point, and I made her a playlist of songs, and I started with High for This. This is back in 2011, 2012. And I put High for This on it, thinking like, oh, this is going to send a message. Like, oh, The Weeknd's like so smooth with his lines, and he has that like modern Marvin Gaye. Like, yeah, this will let her know how I'm feeling and what's up. I don't think she ever commented back. I don't even remember. I remember the playlist more than I remember the girl I sent it to. Interesting how that goes. But I was into House of Balloons for a little while, but it didn't hold up long term for me. And I still liked High for This, but wasn't that into everything else that followed, and kind of forgot about Weeknd. And then it kind of blew my mind when he first had Kissland come out, and it was a hit. You know, it was being talked about. It was number 2 in the US on the Billboard charts. I didn't expect that, because I thought Weeknd was just going to be this kind of singer that had a little bit of a following, but never really went anywhere, not become one of the biggest pop artists in the world, if not the biggest at this point. Beauty Behind the Madness came out, and I don't know if there was much on there that I was excited about. Looking through the track list, Can't Feel My Face, that was one where I was just like, I don't want to like this as much as I do, but I fucking love this. It actually reminded me a lot of Billie Jean in ways, which I don't think another song has ever reminded me of Billie Jean, which could be just my limited musical listening, rather than nobody's reached that point before. Starboy came out, and I thought I'd get into it. I was like, you know what, the cover's cool, it may have a concept, I'm gonna dive into this and see how I feel. And it was another thing where like the Starboy single, kind of I got into it, but not as much as Can't Feel My Face. The album I remember listening to and just being like, okay, nothing jumps out to me, this just isn't for me, I don't get why he's that popular. And then After Hours came out, and I've been trying to listen to more music, especially since I started writing for Forbes and have to think about articles all the time. I'm just like, oh, great, new albums. Let's listen to this, see if there's anything to write about. But I was also curious because I know Weeknd for Starboy had a series of music videos that were more cinematic and narrative-leaning than other artists will do. Like, the videos actually had intercontextuality, continuity between them. He was trying to say something more than just the individual song, right? it became broader in scope and scale, which I get into very easily. But I wasn't as interested enough to actually go back and be like, oh, is Starboy doing this and that? But when After Hours came out, I'll give it a shot. I know he has this whole aesthetic going on with the red suits. And I did wonder if it could have anything to do with the After Hours film, which is a Martin Scorsese film from 1985 that I remember watching a few years ago because I thought, I haven't watched early Scorsese enough. You know, I need to watch more of that. And After Hours seemed to be weird enough that I would be into it. And it's such a bizarre movie, but very entertaining. If you've ever seen the movie Brazil, which I don't know how many people have these days, a Terry Gilliam movie that's essentially 1984, but Terry Gilliam's version in this, I don't even know, it's Brazil because he wants to go to Brazil. It's just essentially 1984 with a dystopian future and this guy trying to be part of a revolution that ultimately doesn't go well. But After Hours had a bit of a similar aesthetic to me and involves this guy going on this crazy journey all because he wants to try to hit on this girl. He gets her number earlier in the day and that night tries to meet up with her. And it's just a series of unfortunate events, one after the other, in this escalating series of mishaps and confusions that result in him being chased by a mob through the streets and almost dying. It's ridiculous. It's thoughtful. It's a really cool movie. But I wondered if it was coincidence that he named the album After Hours. I mean, he wouldn't be the first artist to not see a movie or read a book and pick the same title. But it turns out Weekend actually has the movie poster framed in his house. So it seems that he is a fan of the movie. And after listening to the album, I haven't gone down to the line by line reading of it yet, but it does seem to kind of involve this early part of a relationship. And then when you get to Escape from LA, he wants to get out of this life, but kind of gets drawn back in. And then Heartless is this rebirth of this attitude and character that kind of takes over and starts leading him down a darker road on Faith, Blinding Lights, In Your Eyes, Repeat After Me, finally into After Hours and Until I Bleed Out, which you descend, right? He's kind of outside of something, feeling alone and lonely before this madness ramps up in him, this lust, this craving. And that's not necessarily in line with After Hours the movie, but I think what we're supposed to get, maybe if there is a connection between the two, is just the inflated and surreal nature, because that's really the defining element of the movie, is that everything that's happening is based in reality, but it's so excessive and so absurd that it doesn't feel like reality anymore. And I think that's a lot of what Weekend's going for with this album and why he references the movie in the title of the album. I can't help. To those of you that know, my other work is on Watching the Throne, a lyrical analysis of Kanye West, where me and Travis Bean, longtime collaborators, go through Kanye West's discography, song by song, album by album, looking at the narrative and thematic depths and aspects of Kanye's work. And I gotta say that there's a lot of overlap here. I feel like Weekend has always explored drugs, sex, and nightlife, and looked at both the indulgences and the regret of those things. But it seems like with After Hours, he's really refined the approach down to a journey that happens on the album, rather than just a kaleidoscopic view of these things where it's just slice of life, slice of life, slice of life. But you actually have movement across the album, and it feels very Kanye to me. And specifically, this album reminds me a lot of 808s. I mean, they follow similar territory, but a lot of Kanye's discography after Late Registration, or even starting with Late Registration, explores the highs and lows of celebrity and fame, and that the indulgences that you're allowed because you're famous are the very things that can ruin you and leave you feeling hollow. And while that is started to be talked about on Late Registration and explored a bit more on Graduation, it's not until 808s and Heartbreak that Kanye really latched on to that theme in a very, like, this is it. I'm speaking on this as clearly and loudly as I can, with songs like Welcome to Heartbreak, where he talks about, you know, he hears a dad shows pictures of his kids, and all Kanye can do is show pictures of his cribs. Like, that there are people that have meaningful things in their lives, and Kanye has wealthy things in his life. And that theme just repeats and gets mixed in with the fact that his relationship to Alexis Pfeiffer, he had been engaged to her, had fallen apart. So there's a lot of loneliness that's mixed in. Also a lot of kind of post-breakup anger. Like RoboCop at the end of it talks about, you're just a spoiled LA girl. Just a spoiled LA girl. And then with Weekend on Escape from LA, you have him talking about LA girls, which Kanye's not the first person to talk about how LA girls have a certain style, a certain aesthetic, maybe a certain hollowness. But the fact that Weekend has a song called Heartless is talked about as being created by 808s and Heartbreak. The 808s created the lane for artists like Drake and Weekend to explore these more vulnerable, longing, complicated feelings in a way that was mainstream and popular. You have to imagine that he had at least some sort of relationship with that album, though I don't know to what degree. But you have, both albums have a song called Heartless. You have Escape from LA and RoboCop sharing similar things. Alone Again is the first song off After Hours, and it seems to have a lot in common with Say You Will, the first song on 808s and Heartbreak, which just opens up with Kanye feeling lonely and longing for this girl and reflecting on the hollowness he feels with missing her. Like, he can't fall asleep and is just thinking about her and wondering why she still calls him, and this kind of hole he feels in the wake of their relationship. And Alone Again is Weekend talking about not wanting to feel alone again, and sets up similarly this whole aesthetic of the emptiness that's there and what you're trying to fill romantically but failing to find. And if that's not enough, people on YouTube will be able to see the visuals here, but Weekend is rocking currently for this album a singular look of a red suit with a dark, with a black undershirt and black tie. It really pops. And he has these glasses in a lot of the videos, and when he's performing, like, it's a cool look, but it's not that different from Kanye's look for 808s and Heartbreak, which was very suit oriented. Not the bright red with the black, but he had kind of a gray tweed with a white undershirt and the red heart on his sleeve. But when he was performing, he was usually in suits in this time. And for Weekend to also be rocking the suit aesthetic specifically for this album, and the other similarities in terms of content, it just really has me thinking about, was 808s a bigger reference for him in terms of, all right, this is what I want a project to accomplish at this point in my career, the same way that Kanye was able to go this route at this point in his career, or at that point in his career. I wonder. I'd love to ask him about it. And I wouldn't say that the soundscapes of the albums are similar. Don't get me wrong on that. I'm not trying to say that if you listen to Blinding Lights, it sounds like something on 808s and Heartbreak, or Faith. Like, I think Weekend went way more 80s electronica style than what Kanye did on 808s. So I wouldn't make that comparison, but just mostly with the lyrical content and aesthetic choices on the whole surrounding the album. Just some interesting overlap that I find adds another layer of interest to the project. I will say, for the project specifically, the front half doesn't have me that excited. Alone Again I like, but Too Late, Hardest to Love, Scared to Live, Snow Child, I'm just kind of going through them, not really that into them, which could change. You know, I've listened to the album all the way through 6 or 7 times at this point, and I could, you know, eventually, it would be the first time, get into those songs, really discover them and hear them for the first time. But at this point, but where the album really picks up for me personally is when we get to Escape from LA. The chorus of that song and some of the sonics and vocals that The Weeknd has are just right in my wheelhouse of what I like to listen to. And going from that into Heartless, then Faith, Blinding Lights, In Your Eyes, Save Your Tears, all of that is favorited now for me. It's such a great stretch of contents and music. The Repeat After Me interlude, I kind of hate. I think it's the lowest point on the album for me, to the point where, like, you know, the front half stuff I don't mind listening to, but Repeat After Me, I kind of want to skip every time it's on, and have started skipping the last few times I've listened to the album. After Hours, I get really into, and Until I Bleed Out, I think is a cool ending. With the deluxe edition, the bonus tracks were great, but not fantastic to me. Or not even great. They were okay. They felt like older Weeknd material that I get why other people might be really into it, but doesn't do as much for me. And I think maybe the difference for me, not even just the journey aspects or the narrative aspects that this album seems to have, more so than maybe the previous projects that he's done, but I really dig the updated 80s style. And that's something that I think I've found that I've been liking overall, not just a Weeknd thing, but just in general, projects that are dipping back into that sound are really jumping out to me. And I'm not a big fan of that era in general, but something about the modern sensibilities applied to it really, really jive with what I like to hear. Another album that kind of had me feeling that way, even though it's not quite as 80s, like pure 80s as this is, but was Judith by DZ Brown, who is a Texas-based Bastrop Austin artist who had this album Judith that was more inspired by My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy than anything else, which isn't very 80s at all. But there's just something about the electronica aspects that DZ Brown brought in on Judith that awakened in me an interest and a craving for more of that soundscape. So for Weeknd to go that route fully and unabashedly here on After Hours was very pleasing to me. So I'm a big fan of this. I think personally right now, even with the weaknesses, this album's like a 9 or 10 for me. And personally, a 10 out of 10 is more of a threshold an album reaches, where I'm just good putting on the album and listening to it all the way through and really enjoying it time after time and not really getting bored by it. I feel like every project has weaknesses. There's nothing that's perfect. So it's not like the idea that an album has to be flawless start to finish to be a 10 out of 10, to me at least. It might be that way for others, but to me it's just, is this doing enough great stuff that I want to go back and keep listening to the album over and over again? And for After Hours, absolutely. So this is the first Weeknd album that I'm really all about. And I do have to go back and listen more fully to his other projects just to see maybe if those will click for me in a way that they haven't. Currently working through Trilogy. We'll see how I feel. But I think that does it for After Hours. Favorite track is probably Faith. There's parts from Escape from LA, parts on Faith, and parts on After Hours that really like hit hard for me. And Blinding Lights is great too. So maybe those four. It's kind of like Kendrick's Damn, where there's some parts of songs where I may not like the first third or the middle third, but there's some third in there that I'm just like, this is amazing. Like Fear on Damn is one where I think it's like a 6 minute song, 7 minute song. And the first 3 minutes, eh, but the last 4 minutes, ooh, ooh, real nice. So some of these are like that, like Escape from LA, first minute, But when it gets going, it really goes for me. I think that does it for all the thoughts. If you have any questions, want to share anything, any statements you want me to hear, by all means, you can leave a comment on the YouTube video, as well as find me New School Chris on Twitter or at Kanye Podcast on Twitter, or you can send an email to newschoolchris@gmail.com. You can also make recommendations for any book, movie, album, or TV show you want me to talk about. And if you want to support the channel, the easiest way to do that is just engagement on any of the platforms that you're watching. So if it's on YouTube, commenting, liking, and subscribing all lets YouTube know that this is worthwhile content that people are enjoying. If you're listening on a podcast platform, leaving a review goes a long way, as does subscribing. So if you're on Apple, please, I'd love to make the top 200 art podcast charts, which I think might be kind of easy because there's some weird art podcasts, though this is kind of a weird one as well. But if you're enjoying it, I appreciate you listening, and let me know what you want to hear next. This has been Chris on After Hours. I need a better sign off than that. We'll figure it out. Cheers.